Hey, hey, lurid listeners, welcome back to the Kiss Me Quicks Erotica Podcast. This is Rose Caraway, your guys' host. I'm happy to be here with you today. It's just you and me, and I have a story here that I thought was like three different stories because it's quite the stack of paper that I found in one of my boxes of old writing stuff. It's about 30 pages worth, but no, I found out it's just one story, so... I'm going to give you guys kind of a long, the long one today. I hope that's all right. Slow and steady as it goes into your ear holes. There's a little twist to it. So it's not just a story that I wrote. In fact, I don't own these characters, which means it is, you guessed it, fan fiction. And I do not do that very frequently. I feel like it's a little, maybe a little ostentatious, but I know that it's like hugely popular now. I had no idea way back when. I did one a while ago with Sylvester Stallone's Expendables characters, and that was so much fun. I love each and every one of those characters, and it was a super fun thing to write. So turns out, I guess I did it again. it's so like part of the charm of going back through your old stuff. Like, I'm sure you've done it, right? You find, your parents or somebody saved like some old school stuff that you wrote back in elementary school or whatever. And you go back and there's like this charming nostalgia that kind of washes over you. And that's kind of what I had flowing through me as I scooped out this stack of papers. I wrote this back in 2010, which, if you're a longtime lurid listener, then you will know that this was written a year before our podcast was even going. So that's kind of cool. It just feels a little ostentatious to do fan fiction, but I'm going to look at it today as kind of swanky. I'm going to just be kind of swanky. The story itself, so I don't own these characters, but they are based on the Law and Order SBU unit. Those two sexy, beautiful people, Olivia Benson and Elliot Stabler. And I don't mind saying that I watched SVU, obviously, because I've got a story here, fairly frequently. And it was kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. But I mostly watched it because of the character that was Elliot Stabler. And when he left the show, I kind of didn't watch it anymore. I just felt like that magic juice was kind of gone. I really liked Stabler's like broodiness. He's the family guy, right? Who's working in freaking SVU. And I just, that character and his storyline kind of just struck a chord with me because I would always think, God, what would it be like to work in SVU? And then you go home and you're like, hey, I'm daddy, you know, and why, and husband, and that would be hard. And so I guess my heart just kind of went out to his character. But SVU, if you've not seen it, they've had a fairly long run. God, is that show been going on for like 20 years? I don't know. But they've had three memorable characters that I can tell you right now. Robin Williams, Angela Lansbury, and Martin Short. And all three of them, phenomenal. I loved their episodes. So good. So, so good. So if you're interested in going into the gutter with me, go to, I think it's on Netflix, just go check out SVU. And you probably have to Google which episodes Robin Williams and Angela Lansbury and Martin Short were in, but they were all really good. I think that's when, the writing of the series was really good too. Yeah, I've got some fan fiction here based on, I feel silly, I feel ridiculous, but I'm going to give it to you because I wrote the thing and otherwise it would just stay in the box and go nowhere. And that's not fun, right? I'm the chick who like wants to honor imagination, and that's what I'm all about. The core of myself is just letting my erotic imagination run free. And, you're going to have to think of it how you want. You're either going to suffer through it or you're going to have fun with me. I hope you choose to have fun with me. All right, here we go. Without further ado, here is another fan fiction story that I wrote based on the Law and Order series SVU. And I have titled it To Warm Her. It's a lousy title, but that's what I wrote, and that's what it's going to be. Okay, here we go. Olivia was at her desk, finishing up the last bit of paperwork. Elliot was at his desk, which was nose to nose with hers, finishing up the last of his paperwork, too. Finally, the case was closed. The rapist, who had been eluding them for weeks, was finally caught. Case closed. Olivia was not only very excited about the latest headache case being solved, but also her very best girlfriend was due in the office any minute. Delaney grew up with her every whim answered. Anything she ever wanted was available to her. Laney's dad owned the largest internet server company in the world, and they were billionaires. When people were introduced to Delaney Marshall, they already knew who she was. But their first impressions, though, were never what was expected from a billionaire's daughter. Laney, as her closest friends called her, was the most humble person alive. She was the most giving woman that Olivia had ever met. Olivia was probably more of a snob than Laney. They went to school together. They both graduated with honors. Olivia went on to criminal justice. Laney got her master's in business relations and economics. She assisted her father in running the multi-billion dollar business. Laney helped keep her father grounded when he tried to soar too high. Clicking her Bic pen closed, Olivia replaced it into the little metal cup and closed her file. She looked over at Elliot. He wasn't done yet, but it looked close. The precinct was buzzing, files being handed off from one hand to another. One case was closed, but there were dozens more unsolved. This place was nonstop. As she looked around the bustling of people, she saw Laney just coming through the front entrance. Heads began turning like dominoes, one after the other. Laney was, to say the least, a walking, talking bombshell. She had perfectly long, sandy blonde hair, startlingly blue eyes, and a perfect, athletic body. Olivia was always told how pretty she was, but never beautiful. And that was fine. Both women could have any man they wanted. Currently, Olivia was dating Ben, who was both very good-looking and very smart. Plus, he had her wrapped around his little finger, but Olivia would never admit it. She had an image to uphold. Laney didn't date too much. Being so high-profile saw to that. Most men couldn't handle the pressure, much to Laney's surprise. Plus, she'd had to be very careful with who she dated. The company had to be protected. Laney took a moment to stop by the front desk. She was directed towards Olivia's desk. Elliot had just put his pen into its holder and slapped the file folder shut. He looked up when he saw Olivia's attention on another woman headed right towards them. Immediately, Elliot was astounded by the woman's beauty. He was still speechless when Olivia stood up to give her friend a welcoming hug. He pushed the file folder to the side of his desk as he rose to greet his partner's friend. "Liv, who's this?" Elliot offered his hand. "Elliot, you remember me telling you about Laney coming, right?" Olivia waited for her partner to remember. This last case took all of their attention, night and day. Hell, she had lost track of which day of the week it was once or twice. "Oh, that's right, sorry. Been kind of swamped around here." He smiled broadly as she, with surprising strength, took his hand. "No problem. Liv told me your case was pretty big. Thank God it's all over, huh?" Laney smiled perfectly. Elliot thought he might get lost in that smile. She couldn't be the real deal, though, he knew. Delaney Marshall was a bazillionaire who, he was even more sure, ate caviar for breakfast. Still, it didn't hurt anyone to lust from afar. "You ready for some lunch? I've got our reservations all set at the Sunrise." Laney looked from Olivia to Elliot. "We have reservations for a definite three, but if you have a girlfriend or a wife, she can come along. I told them that we may have four." Elliot was suddenly embarrassed by the question. She hadn't been prying or even offensive, but he felt slightly ashamed that the only woman in his life right then was his mother, who incidentally lived in Florida with her boyfriend. They spoke on most holidays and actually cared for one another, but they were just too busy with their own lives. They rarely visited. No, it's just me. But lunch at the Sunrise sounds pretty good, especially after this damn case. He nodded at the closed file still on the desk. I second that, Olivia announced. They retrieved their jackets from the locker rooms before heading out with Lainey for a well-overdue, fantastic lunch. The dessert menu was brought out, and all three shared an oversized piece of 12-layered chocolate cake with hot fudge dripping over the sides. It was the best piece of cake Elliot had ever had. He sat back on his side of the booth, filled to the brim. He listened to the women as they chatted. Elliot found he kept his gaze on Lainey more and more. Her personality proving more and more to be the complete opposite of what he initially expected. She sat back and just listened to his partner tell countless tales of previous cases and blunders that she and her partner made, and even more hilarious stupid crap their perps did over the last 8 years of their partnership. Lainey laughed and covered her mouth in shock and disbelief as Olivia's sagas continued. The waiter brought the check, and both women fought to pay, but Elliot seized the moment and timed it just right, then grabbed the black-walleted check and paid over the women's protests. The women finally gave up, and they picked up the conversation where they had left off. The conversation turned a bit more serious when Olivia retold of an inmate she had previously caught who had been released and had begun stalking her. God, if Elliot hadn't been walking me home, under my protests, of course, that bastard would have hurt me pretty bad. She paused to look at Elliot, who looked rather severe at the memories of that night. He thought how close he came to losing his partner. They worked really well together, and there was never any weird sexual tension. They were just a solid team, good friends. He tried to clear his throat to take the edge off. So, Lainey, what's been going on with you? How's your dad and business? Olivia realized she had been practically talking the whole time. Oh, no, you want to hear about me? Really? You must have something more to say. I can't believe that's all that's happened since the last time I saw you. Olivia punched Lainey in the shoulder, which again shocked the hell out of Elliot. He expected her to start whining or saying she was suing something snobby. But Lainey just punched Olivia right back. Ow, you bitch! That effing hurt. Well, you should keep your snobby sarcasm to yourself. Olivia rubbed her shoulder, then added, and you're the bitch, not me. They laughed again. Elliot couldn't help it. The light mood was contagious. He snickered. The two women turned on him and threatened to punch him. How dare he laugh at them? Elliot quickly put up his hands. I'm out of this. They laughed together. Lainey was captivating, practically intoxicating to watch as she laughed at his surrender and wiped the tears from her eyes. Well, she cleared her throat and got one last giggle out before continuing. I don't have quite as many adventures as you two, but I have had a kind of stalker of my own. I don't think it's anything serious, but you know when your gut tells you to run. She told them about a Mr. Thomas K. Brooks. He owned Brooks International, a highly competitive airline that was soon to be buying out the top airline in the country. And Mr. Brooks wasn't above being sleazy either. In fact, that's what the major tabloids were calling him. Sleazy Brooks. He's been asking me to date him. I refuse as politely as I can, but he still keeps pushing. He's even sent me flowers, candy, even called to ask me out from my home line. You know that only you, Daddy, and my attorneys have my home line. Thomas Brooks was pushy. He sent his private jet to retrieve Lainey after she was done with a business trip overseas. The news reporters had even known that Brooks was there to pick her up for a date. Paris, of all places. Finally, her father called his private attack dogs to help Brooks understand that his advances on his daughter were unwelcomed and seriously unwanted. I haven't heard from him for about 3 weeks. Thank God, that guy gives me the heebie-jeebies. She shuddered and saw Olivia and Elliot both staring at her. What? I'm being careful. See? Look over there. Lainey pointed to two men in sharp-cut suits having coffee at a doubles table. I call them Biff and Buff. They're my protection. Elliot hadn't noticed them inside the precinct. They must be pretty good. One of them, probably Buff, tipped an imaginary hat at Elliot, then resumed eyeing the perimeter for possible threats to their contract. Well, I think I've eaten up enough of your guys' afternoon. I've got to get going. Got to make some calls. What do you guys say we continue our celebration of finally being rid of major headaches tomorrow night at, say, Smokies? They all agreed. Olivia and Lainey hugged goodbye. Then Lainey hugged Elliot. He could smell her perfume. It lingered after she let go. She was intoxicating. The night at the bar had been good stuff. It was good for them to cut loose a little and just have a good time. Olivia brought her boyfriend, Ben, so Elliot ended up kind of being Lainey's date, even though her bodyguards were nearby. Eventually, after a couple of beers, he and Lainey shared some alone time at the table. Olivia was on the dance floor, gyrating pretty hot and heavy with Ben. Elliot couldn't blame her. She needed some cut-loose time. She was a hard worker, a dedicated cop, and he admired her attention to small details. There were a couple of times his partner saw some minute detail that he hadn't seen yet. She was enjoying herself, and he wouldn't begrudge her this well-earned time off. So, Elliot, why don't you have a girl on your arm? Lainey was sipping her beer, another detail that had surprised him. He figured she would order some candied drink. He was pleasantly surprised she'd ordered from tap. Well, he wasn't sure what to say. There had been women, but they heard about what he did for a living, and it spooked them. He just hadn't found anyone he could sit and relax with, make love to, and have a non-strained relationship with. Plus, he was a brooder. Women always said they liked the dark, brooding types, but Elliot was proof that no, they didn't really. Sorry, I sometimes say exactly what's on my mind. It's gotten me into trouble plenty of times, let me tell you. Lainey felt bad. She probably pried too much. No, it's fine. I was just thinking the same thing is all. He smiled and leaned back in his chair. Lainey copied him. Again, she wasn't a threat. Well, I keep telling myself it's the job and not me. He barked a small laugh and they held up their beers in unison. Cheers. Lainey laughed. It was music to his ears. She was dressed to kill in her simple semi-low-cut t-shirt and snug jeans. Yeah, a guy in a job like I've got, not on any women's catch list. They laughed comfortably again. This time their eyes locked and held until Olivia and Ben returned with more rounds. Why don't you two go out there? There aren't too many underage idiots. Olivia and Ben held hands and then entangled their arms around each other's waists. Ben flew in for a quick flyby kiss. Elliot didn't need any more prodding than that. He walked over to Lainey's chair, made eye contact with Biff and Buff, but without their consent, of course, he pulled the beautiful woman to her feet. The music was loud, but not too loud. Elliot began finding the fast-paced beat along with Lainey. They moved in closer to one another. He could smell her sweet floral perfume as she moved in closer still. Her arms went around his neck as they danced, beat by beat. And as the song slowed down, their breathing trying to catch up, a slow song began. Elliot pulled her into him. He clenched his jaw as he looked into her startlingly blue eyes. Sweat was beading on her forehead and on her chest, and lower in her cleavage. She leaned in very close now, and their bodies swayed in time. He could feel her heartbeat against his own chest. He caught her gaze once again and was about to lean in himself, but too rapidly, the music changed again. The dimmed lights were brought back to their pulsing flashes. It felt awkward, so they both walked back to their table. And on cue, Biff and Buff were looming next to the table, where Olivia and Ben were deep in conversation about Olivia's tonsils. "It's time to go, Miss Marshall." Before things got more awkward because of Olivia's being preoccupied, Elliot started to ask Lainey how long she was in town for, but he was cut off. "Can I call you later, Elliot? I mean, if you're not too busy on another case, maybe we could meet for drinks alone?" This time she was handing him her card and then quickly pecked him on the cheek and left. For the next couple of weeks, Elliot and Olivia were back at the regular routine, finding victims and hunting down criminals. Elliot hadn't gotten a call from Lainey in that time, so he gathered his courage one night while he was at home. Some man answered, saying this was Miss Marshall's attorney, and that Miss Marshall was not taking any calls, and that she probably wouldn't be taking any calls for several weeks. She was scheduled with important business meetings. All of her spare time was needed for her to rest. Goodbye. After another week, he asked Olivia, "Hey, have you heard from your friend Lainey lately?" Olivia smiled. She knew her partner was interested in her best friend. It was obvious after that night at Smokey's. To tell the truth, Elliot could hardly think of much else but Lainey's body next to his, sweating and moving next to him on that dance floor. "You know what? I haven't. Ever since Smokey's, I can't get a hold of her." They were once again at their desks, finishing up phone calls off of leads they had gotten over the past couple of days. This case wasn't hard to follow the trail, thankfully. It was hopefully close to actually being solved. They had all their evidence. All they needed was to tie up some loose ends. "Isn't it strange? I mean, she gave me her card in front of Biff and Buff. She wanted to get together again, and now she's not taking any calls. I don't know. It seems weird." Elliot was chewing on the tip of his pen, flipping Lainey's business card over and over in his other hand. "Wow, Elliot, are you sprung on Lainey?" "What? No, I just wanted to take her out to coffee or something. I don't know." He felt a little defensive, but at the same time, something felt off. His gut told him something wasn't sitting right. Why would she give him her card and then suddenly not take his calls? "She does run a multi-billion dollar internet company, Elliot. Maybe she's actually too busy." Olivia saw her partner's genuine concern. It was not outside of the spectrum for her best friend to actually be that busy. But at the same time, Lainey hadn't taken Olivia's calls from home either. "You're probably right, Liv. Besides, what coffee shop could I actually take her to? She's got bodyguards, for Christ's sake." Elliot tossed his pen into the pen holder cup and flicked the business card into his top drawer. If she was interested in him, she would call when she wasn't so busy. "Hey, what do you say we go grab us a beer before I take you home?" Olivia's car was in the shop. "Sounds great. Let's roll." She was about to click off her desk lamp when her phone rang. "Benson." Olivia's eyes grew slowly to the size of saucers with every second that she was on the phone. Then she stood, open-mouthed, at Elliot as she was barely able to even hang up the phone. "Someone with a voice scrambler just tipped us off that Lainey Marshall is down at Sandstorm Beach. We need to hurry. The tide is coming in." They called the captain to apprise him of the situation as Elliot drove to Sandstorm Beach. They used flashlights and combed the beach for Lainey. What the hell was going on? Then Olivia screamed Elliot's name. He ran as fast as he could in the wet sand. Over by the rocks, where the tide was most definitely in, was Lainey Marshall. She was in a position that Elliot hadn't seen since he was in the Marines. Lainey was in what was called a stress position. There was a large pole that was driven into the earth, and Lainey was in a kneeling position with her wrists bound behind her back and then tied to the pole way up high. The waves soaked through Elliot's shoes and slacks. God, it was freezing. He shone his light on Lainey as he rushed towards her. He realized that her head was covered with a canvas bag and that it was tied around her neck with rope. His fingers were going numb as he tried to untie the swollen rope. Lainey's head hung down. He didn't know if she was still alive. The waves were relentless. They crashed into them as he worked feverishly. He finally heard her sputter and choke as the ropes loosened and then came undone. Elliot carefully pulled the bag from Lainey's head. She was choking again as water surrounded them. Olivia had been working on the ropes at Lainey's wrists. Hang on, Lainey. We're almost out. His light reflected purple, shivering lips and closed eyes. At least she was shivering. Shivering meant that she was still alive. As Lainey began choking on seawater again, Elliot held her head as much as he could out of the damned waves. Her face felt colder than the temperature of the water. Olivia shouted something, but he couldn't hear it over the breaking waves. Only when Lainey suddenly began to slip out of his grip did he realize she was free of the pole. He reflexively grabbed her limp body into his arms and made his way back to the beach, the waves now helping as they pushed him and Lainey out of the sea's dark depths. They lay Lainey on the sand as she choked out the remaining seawater. Lainey, what happened, honey? Who did this to you? Olivia held her friend's head on her lap now, trying to put things together. Lainey, what happened? Olivia had to shout over the breaking waves. That's it. I'm calling for an ambulance. We've got to get her to a hospital. She was about to call 911 when Lainey finally spoke, each word stuttering through her shivering lips. No! Please, Olivia, don't! Take me to your office. Olivia was unable to move. What? Why would she want to go there? Sweetheart, we need a doctor. You need help. Her words fell on deaf ears. No, Olivia, please. I can't, please. Elliot gently broke in. Liv, we'll take her to the precinct. We'll get her warm and assess her there. If she needs a doctor, we can call one to come in. He waited for her to agree. But she didn't like it. Elliot drove like his heels were on fire. They laid Lainey on the couch now, and Olivia went to get more blankets. There were only two. Too many crimes. So many victims. Not enough blankets. This isn't going to be enough. Lainey's lips are still purple, and she's shaking a lot more. We have to get her warm. Looking around the room, she racked her brain for some other heat source. Then, you're going to have to get on the couch with her. What? I'm soaking wet. That won't help. Elliot thought his partner was going, in technical terms, cuckoo. No, I mean take your clothes off. You're bigger than me, and besides, you put out BTUs like a furnace. Come on, strip down and climb in, Elliot. Look at her. She's going into hypothermia. He did look at her, and at the same time, he began removing his shoes and tie, then everything else. Olivia said nothing. She hurried him along under the thin blankets. He gathered the icicle of a woman into his arms. Even though he was wet, he wasn't freezing. Lainey must have been in the water for hours. Who had done this to her? Olivia had peeled Lainey's clothes off and, out of respect, left her undergarments on. Elliot felt the icy wetness of her bra and underwear. Those have to go too. They're in the way. He quickly flipped the blankets back enough so that Olivia could unbuckle the bra. Then he pulled the freezing cloth the rest of the way off. Lainey was curled up into a tight ball. It was difficult for him to cover her with his body. He pried her knees down and successfully pulled her onto his chest to the core of his warmth. He had to use some pressure, otherwise she would start to ball up again. After about 15 minutes, Olivia had to practically force Elliot to start rubbing Lainey with his hands, even his legs. He was very uneasy at their intimate position, but the woman was an ice cube. He knew he had to do this. It hadn't gone unnoticed that Lainey was also very, very clean-shaven. He forced himself to not think about it, but he was a man, and freezing or not, this woman in his arms was very, very naked. Elliot, Olivia cleared her throat and stammered, she's getting... Elliot felt, even through the tremors, that Lainey was getting aroused. She was pressing her hips into his hips. He hissed through his teeth. I can't do this, Olivia. It's not right. You're gonna have to get under here with her. Lainey, still shivering, said his name. You can't stop. You'll take away what little heat you've given her, and she'll just get worse. Just stay with her, keep her warm, but don't, are you nuts? I'm a man, Olivia. There's only so much I can't control. Lainey, still pale as a ghost and yet purple at the same time, pushed herself onto Elliot's chest and began kissing him. I can't do this. She needs a doctor. Just call, please. He clenched down as Lainey's hand found its way to his very warm and, desperately trying to go unnoticed, slowly growing erection. God damn it, Olivia. Turn on the monitors or something. I have to distract myself. He was all but shouting through a tightly clenched jaw as he rubbed his hands all over Lainey's shivering, freezing, naked body. The monitors flashed on, and images of the most recent victims that had been found murdered appeared. For a couple of minutes, the distraction worked, but Lainey, poor frozen Lainey, still endeavored to get warm her way. The phone rang, and Olivia jumped. That's the captain. I have to take it. Look, just do what you need to do to warm her up. Just don't... The phone rang again, more persistently to Elliot's ears. His breath caught as icicles made their way lower under the blankets again. Barely able to speak, his jaw was vice gripped. Just go, go, don't, just hurry back, damn it. Olivia nodded her understanding as she ran off to answer the phone. Elliot avoided looking at the monitors now. If he was going to do this... He was going to really do this. He continued rubbing and massaging Lainey's cold body and used his nose to adjust her face so that it tilted up towards his. He began kissing her forehead, then her eyelids, lingering so his heat would be absorbed into her skin. She stuttered his name more than once, which told him she must have been thinking about him as much as he had her. His lips found hers, trembling and so cold. He slowly kissed her lips, pulling and pressing into her as much as he could. Her icy hands were now on his chest, raking against his nipples, still shaking, though. He decided to go for broke. He pulled her up a little higher onto him, careful not to let their heat escape from a falling blanket, and took one of her breasts into his hands as he kissed her a little harder. As trembling as she was, she seemed to respond, her forehead wrinkled as she moaned provocatively through chattering teeth. Spurred on, Elliot moved one hand to her ass and squeezed both small cheeks hard. She moaned again, and then he captured her lips with his. She continued to move her hands down to his now throbbing erection, but he moved them back up to his chest, his nipples extremely sensitive to her freezing fingers. Then he moved his own hands down, down to her center. He remembered again that she was very clean-shaven. Instinct was driving her as she felt his hot fingers play within her cool folds. As cold as she was still very wet. Using two fingers, he entered into her coolness and heard her gasp his name again. He covered her mouth with his as he moved his fingers in and out, letting her unconsciously guide him. He teased her a little with his kisses and fingers, too, and didn't notice that her shivering was slowing down. He continued to explore inside her, and as he explored, he found her breasts again and brought the other one to his mouth. He sucked on her nipple as hard as she pushed into him. He felt her shivers subside then, and her entire body tensed up as she moaned her sudden ecstasy. Then she laid on top of him, motionless for the first time. Her heartbeat was rapid, and as he kissed her lightly on the nose, he noticed it wasn't the icicle it once was. As revved up as he was, Elliot still felt satisfaction, and as Lainey slept on top of him, he too slowly began to doze off. His dreams were filled with lovemaking. Only Lainey wasn't cold at all. She was, in fact, quite hot. Olivia was explaining what she and Elliot had done while Lainey was showering. Lainey wanted to wash the seawater off, and she wanted some alone time. Lainey told Olivia who had kidnapped her, and then strung her up painfully to that pole on the beach. The water was more than cold, more than freezing. That water had almost killed her. Just thinking about how cold that water had been made Lainey shiver again. She turned the shower nearly all the way to the hottest setting. They were in the women's shower room, still at the precinct. Olivia had called her captain, and that was it. Lainey wanted to keep this incident out of the public eye, for now, until she had time to think. As much as she wanted that bastard to pay for what he had done to her, she had to be careful. Derek Oliver was Thomas Brooks' right-hand man. He was a scary man. Where Brooks was sleazy, Derek Oliver was deadly. Basically, Derek warned Lainey to stay away from Brooks. He threatened her father and anyone else she held close to her heart. He had threatened to kill them all, including Lainey, too. She had to keep that threat from the police, too. Because of the resources that Derek Oliver had at his disposal, Lainey believed he could get away with murder. But she had resources, too. She just needed to be careful. So far, no one knew what happened to her but Olivia, the captain, and Elliot. Changing her train of thought, she wondered where Elliot was. He needed to go home. We told the captain we found you about 8 last night, and Elliot had to go home around 6 this morning. Olivia was on the other side of the shower curtain wall while her best friend washed. She listened for signs that Lainey was upset about how Elliot had warmed her freezing body. So far, Lainey seemed fine. Then she spoke above the running water again. "I thought I was dreaming, Liv. I thought I imagined Elliot holding me, kissing me." There was a pause. Then she asked, "Is he okay? Do you know? I should be embarrassed, but I'm not. It's weird." Olivia told her that Elliot wasn't happy about what he'd done, but in the end, he knew it was necessary. He was worried about Lainey, though. He worried that she would hate him after their night on the couch. "I have to tell him I'm okay. Liv, can you drop me off at his place? I need to talk to him. I need to tell him I'm fine, to say thank you." Olivia had been surprised how at ease Lainey was. She wasn't sure she would have been as calm. She called for a taxi to take Lainey to Elliot's house. It was almost noon, and her partner hadn't answered his cell phone. "Promise you won't play Super Sleuth while I'm out of earshot?" Lainey knew her friend would want to catch the man who had nearly killed her. Olivia smiled and told her she would hold off just for a while. Lainey got into the cab and waved through the backseat window as she was driven into busy traffic. Lainey lightly rapped on the front door. There was no answer. so she knocked a little louder. Then the door was opened. Elliot stood in the doorway. Lainey caught her breath. He was wearing only a pair of jeans, and though his hair was remarkably short, she could still tell that he had been sleeping. "Hi, Elliot. May I come in? I'd like to talk to you." The look on his face was hard to bear. He looked haunted, and she wanted to comfort him, to let him know that she bore no ill feelings towards him for what he had done to her. Elliot raked his hand through his mussed hair. Sure, he couldn't think of anything else to say, but he did want to hear about what had happened to Lainey before they had found her. He had brewed some coffee already and offered her a cup as he motioned for her to sit at his dinner table rather than his couch. That haunted look returned as he thought about her and him on another couch again. He should never have done what he did. It had only been a few hours, but he was becoming more and more disgusted with himself. He handed her a hot cup and took the chair opposite her. He couldn't bring himself to remain too close to her. Neither of them drank from their cups. They sat in complete silence, unsure of what to say. "Look, I wanted to come by and say..." Elliot held up his hands. You don't have to say anything. What I did was, well, it was completely reprehensible, despicable. Anger welled up inside of him. He had to stand up, and suddenly he couldn't stay still. He began pacing. "I know you can't forgive me, but you have to know that what I did was just to help." Lainey rose and quickly walked to him. He froze, waiting, anticipating her rage, that she would scream at him. But she didn't. Lainey threw her arms around his neck and kissed him hard. He tried to pull away, but she held fast. They kissed again for a full minute, and Elliot couldn't stop. She wouldn't let him. When she finally broke free of their kiss, she breathed, "Thank you, Elliot, for what you did." He was shocked. That brought a smile to her face. She leaned in again and began kissing the man, now holding her more passionately. Their kiss became more heated. Elliot picked her up and carried her to his bed, their coffee cups left on the table, getting cold. He laid her down on his bed now and came down on top of her. He kissed her, felt her fingers run through his hair, and felt her pull at him, felt her want him. He pulled back and just looked at her. She lay there, staring back at him, daring him to stop. She smiled seductively. Instantly, he understood that he was forgiven. He then leaned down, breathing in the soap she had so recently used. He kissed her possessively, then began undressing her, and then himself. They were naked and taking one another. He rediscovered her body. She responded energetically. Her skin, this time, was much, much warmer. She returned his kisses eagerly and wrapped her long, thin legs around his waist. She guided him into her. Again, he noticed this time how warm she was. He thrust himself into her, enjoying her gasps and passionate moans. She urged him on, needed him again and again, and he gave himself to her, everything that he had. The next few weeks were a whirlwind of working cases and having a relationship. Elliot was never happier. Lainey was still busy, but she gave Elliot her home number, and almost every night they either talked on the phone or they met at his house and made love. Under the public eye, both Elliot and Olivia worked to find Derek Oliver. He was laying low, and so were Lainey's bodyguards, Biff and Buff, also known as Mike and Greg. They hadn't been found, and Elliot was planning for the worst. Not that the two men were dead, but that they were involved. Olivia was warming up to the idea, too. They hadn't told Lainey yet, though. Once again, she wasn't available by phone. He hadn't seen her in 2 weeks, and they were supposed to meet at his place this weekend. When Saturday night came and nearly left, That's when Olivia and Elliot began their worries again. They went to their chief, and he hadn't heard anything. Elliot decided to call Lainey one more time when the phone rang from his desk. His stomach turned in knots. Olivia was about to grab his phone when he snatched it before she did. It was the FBI. They had found Delaney Marshall. She'd been abducted 4 days ago by one Thomas K. Brooks. And as it turned out, she was kept a prisoner. Apparently, Brooks was using his airline to secretly fly women from all over the world to be sold to other millionaires who could afford to pay. He had his own sex trade business going. It was because Delaney Marshall had installed a GPS tracking device into one of her necklaces that they had found her. Her father went right to the top to report his missing daughter, though. She had missed several meetings, and Delaney Marshall never missed her appointments. Delaney was now home, but she was in a sort of psychologically induced coma. It didn't look good. Delaney had been administered opiates, and she was cut up pretty badly. Thomas Brooks was upset that Delaney still refused him, so he let his partner have her, Derek Oliver. The FBI had him, too. They had also found her in a huge warehouse where there were 274 other women, all addicted to heroin and in pretty bad shape. None were cut up like Lainey, though. Elliot listened and went pale as he heard the details. He didn't remember sitting down, but he was in a chair. He wanted to weep. He wanted to kill those sons of bitches. But he couldn't hang up the phone yet. The agent on the other line said all Lainey was saying was Elliot's name over and over. Her father was sending a car to pick him up. It would be there in 3 minutes. Elliot held the phone loosely to his ear as the dial tone told him the FBI agent had already hung up. He looked at his partner, who had been on the other phone. She must have hit the conference button. She'd heard every word. She started crying. Elliot was in shock. She was cut up? What did that mean? A coma? A self-induced coma? What did that mean? He felt like lead was in his veins. He couldn't move or think. Olivia shook him by the shoulders. Elliot, come on! We've got to go! He shook his head and blinked back tears that threatened to betray him. Olivia's eye makeup was making its way down her cheeks. She wiped it away as she refocused on getting to her best friend. Elliot snapped out of his trance. He grabbed the cell phone he didn't remember dropping and put it in his pocket. They headed for the door. They would jump into the car as soon as it pulled up. They wouldn't waste a second. Getting out of the car was like a dream. Entering the Marshall mansion was like a dream. Seeing Lainey hooked up to tubes and seeing the bruises and cuts was a nightmare. Olivia didn't hesitate before stampeding into the bedroom. Elliot couldn't bring himself to enter the room. A doctor and Mr. Marshall approached Elliot. They told him Lainey's status. He could see a handful of agents just leaving. They had everything they needed. Now Lainey just needed to heal. But according to the doc, that was going to be a long road. He described in too much detail exactly what had happened to the woman Elliot loved. Lainey had been strapped to a bed and injected with heroin. She was kept just like the other women, only she wasn't raped, thank God. And the other women weren't cut. Derek knew that Brooks had kidnapped the woman he wanted, and it was all it took for Derek to not kill Lainey. Derek was so relieved that his boss changed his mind about the woman, but he had still taken her and played with her. Those were Derek's own words. Elliot's fists were so tight, he couldn't hear the doctors as they spoke. Derek used razor blades and continuously cut Delaney's legs and abdomen and her arms. All the cuts are deep and need stitches. Every single cut is ranging from 2 inches to 6 inches. He took his time, Elliot. That was Lainey's father. His face was rage incarnate. The way he looked at Elliot told him the older man wanted something. He recognized exactly what that something was, and it would be his pleasure. The doctor unexpectedly ran into the bedroom again, to his patient's side. His assistants were there, too. There was a commotion, and the doctor came out of the room. "Sir, your daughter is in shock again. Her temperature is dropping. She's suffering from tremors. I need to get her to my hospital." Mr. Marshall strided into his daughter's room. He felt helpless. Elliot still couldn't bring himself to enter. Then he heard his name. It was Lainey. She screamed his name. It chilled his bones. Her pleas reverberated off the walls. Olivia found her way next to Elliot. She whispered in his ear. He stared at her, gawked at her. He looked back at Lainey. She was suffering, badly. He removed his jacket and shoes. This time, though, she didn't need the heat from his body. She just needed his body. He loosened his tie and crawled into the bed next to the sick, tormented woman. There were so many cuts along her body. They didn't want her wearing any clothing that would further disturb the wounds. She felt so cold and clammy one second, and then her skin burned his hands the next. She was feverish. Having been here once before, and now he had her body memorized, Elliot ran his hands as carefully as he could from her shoulder to her waist, and then rested it on her thigh. The thin sheet hid his movements, but everyone in the room knew what he was doing. He felt the long lines of prickly stitches as he tried to comfort her. She drew up a leg and wrapped it over his waist. She knew he was there. She purred, her recognition. Her movement and his hand accidentally moved against each other, and suddenly his hand felt slick and then sticky. He knew her cuts had opened. It made him sick to his stomach. He clenched his jaw, but remained silent as Lainey snuggled into his arms. He spoke softly into her ear. He wiped the blood onto the top of the sheet. Her father's rage grew. His hatred mixed with that rage, and Elliot recognized the desire for vengeance forming. He continued talking softly to Lainey, brushing her oily hair from her face. It took a while, but she finally calmed down and began resting. He remained next to her until the doctor quietly told him, "I need to redress her cuts now, sir. Careful now." Elliot delicately pulled his arm out from under her and eased himself off the bed. Only then did he notice all the blood that had soaked into his long-sleeved dress shirt. His shirt was a light blue, but with the blood it became dark purple, almost black. Olivia handed him a new shirt, Mr. Marshall's, he assumed. He changed shirts right there. His pants would have to be stained. He could see several close sets of bloody lines where her cuts had met the fabric. His eyes moved to Lainey, and then to her father, her billionaire father. Mr. Marshall was a man who had resources. He could make anything happen, and no one would be the wiser. He was a meticulous man by reputation, and that's just what they would need. Elliot left his soiled shirt on a wingback chair. He leaned down and gingerly kissed Lainey on the forehead, then left the room. Mr. Marshall, the man with resources, was on his heels. Olivia knew what was going to happen, but she stayed silent. Her job was to stop crime, to protect victims, no matter who they were. But she stayed where she was. Sometimes you had to look the other way. Sometimes there was another kind of justice. All right, Lured listeners, thank you so much for joining me again today. I hope you enjoyed that little SVU fan fiction story that I wrote for you. I've got an excellent story coming next week, so let's look forward to that. Hey, I want you to have an awesome week. Have a happy Monday. Love the ones near and dear to you, and know that Big Daddy and I love you, and we'll see you soon.
Stupid fish.